Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
This is Lori.
And this is Abby.
Welcome to episode number 51 of Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. Today, we are starting our very first episode on our series on executive functioning and executive functions. And we're super excited to have Trina Haynes with us, my lady, ADHD, as I know her. Welcome, Trina.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're great. Thank you so much for being here today.
Good. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very happy to be here.
That's great. We appreciate you being here and being ready to talk about some executive function skills.
Let's do it.
Before we dive into the good stuff, Trina, do you mind telling us a little bit about you and kind of how you landed where you are today?
Sure. So I am a pretty recently diagnosed ADHDer. I was diagnosed in 2021. So just last year, actually.
Oh, wow.
kind of had a feeling for a while, but officially got diagnosed in 2021. And I immediately kind of went online to find a community to connect to. So I really wanted other women that I could relate to. And I jumped online and I found a few people, but I didn't really find a huge community. And so I decided to start my own. And it grew pretty quickly. And we are like 100,000 strong now. So my life has changed pretty dramatically in the last year.
That is amazing.
It's really cool.
Are you on all social media platforms?
I am. I'm mostly through Instagram. I have a lot of followers on Instagram. I do have all the other fun social media accounts. It's mostly through Instagram. And I now do workshops and various different things to help ADHDers just manage their crazy, chaotic lives.
Awesome. Did you ever think when you got your diagnosis that it would turn into a career?
Oh, no, not ever. No, but my life has sort of led me here. And now in hindsight, I can see that. I could not have dreamed this up.
That is so cool.
What did you do? I'm just curious. No. What did you do previously? What was your career or your interests? If you don't mind sharing.
Yeah, I have had, I just recently added up. I've had 28 different job titles in my lifetime, which is pretty normal for people with ADHD. A lot of what I've been doing has been marketing. So I luckily picked a field that I could do marketing for any company. So I just ended up bouncing from company to company doing marketing. I have a really strong background in marketing, which probably lends itself to me growing a strong community in a quick manner. I've been in the marketing field for a long, long time. Okay, but I've also done some crazy jobs.
I bet.
Yeah.
And then you got bored and moved on to the next one.
Exactly. Yep.
Awesome. I would say that's pretty typical for ADHD.
I mean,
I know you and I both talked about our
jumping around.
Uh-huh. So mm-hmm. pretty normal.
Yeah.
So
it's very interesting. And some people will not job hop per se, but they will like title hop. So like mm-hmm. they'll move up in the company. So some people will say, I haven't job hopped. Like I've had the same job for 10 years. I'm like, well, how many different roles have you had within that company? And that's pretty typical for an ADHD person to just move their way from department to department because they're just bored.
With me, what I did for a long time, I've had the same role as an educational diagnostician, but I, even within the same school district that I worked in, I school hopped. I got bored after a few years, wanted new challenges, wanted a new age group, wanted a variety of different people to work with. So I hopped from different schools and but still kept that role.
Kept it nice and fresh for you. I think that's the key. Yeah.
Yeah. Spiced it up.
Spiced it up a little.
I used to have a lot of shame around that, but I've grown to just not only accept it, but actually be really grateful for all of the experiences I've had that have led me here. I have a very well-rounded career. I've worked with all kinds of people. I've learned to do so many things, and I think it just lends itself to what I'm doing now. So
for sure.
Pretty nice.
So I'm really excited that you're a new diagnosee, if that's a word. Yes. Because our executive function, we're going to jump right in and we're going to start with focus. Because that's really like that kind of embraces ADHD, right? Focus.
Yeah.
But when we talk about focus, we're not just talking about paying attention, which obviously that's part of it. But there's a little bit more to it. Abby, what are some of the things about focus that we want to talk about?
So we want to talk about, of course, sustaining focus, being able to avoid distractions, shifting attention or focus, and being able to divide attention. Those are kind of some major aspects of that broad topic of focus that are impacting ADHDers.
So Trina, with your experience with ADHD, can you give some examples or can you think of some times where your inability to either sustain attention, avoid distractions, shift or divide attention, or, where has that impacted you? And is it mostly at work? Do you see it work at home?
It is every second of my life. It is if I'm on the way to get a glass of water and I'm distracted by something, it is going to send an email and completely getting sidetracked for hours on end. I mean, it is in my relationship with my husband. It is in me being a parent. I mean, I'm constantly being pulled away from the task that I had set out to do. And sometimes I don't make it back to that task. It literally affects my work, my home, my education when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. What if the task is incredibly enjoyable or interesting to you?
Oh, well, then of course I'll do that one.
So we'll talk about that a little bit, though, because I think that's something that is a huge misconception.
Well, I think it is a misconception because ADHD, because it's called attention deficit disorder, I think a lot of people think that means you can't pay attention at all.
Right.
You have a deficit in attention.
No, it's not that. It's really more we are interest-based nervous system, interest-based brain, and we go where the excitement is, where the energy is, where the interest is, and we can sustain that focus for as long as it's interesting. Most ADHDers I know can sit and learn every single thing about ladybugs for an hour or two. Like if they're really interested in it, they can sit there and focus on it. But if they need to eat, they may forget that they haven't eaten in several hours. So it's more about where our attention, like what's grabbing your attention and how appealing that is to your interests. So, it is a challenge. It's super tough, but it's also super exciting because sometimes you can find something that's just you're so passionate about, you're so interested in, and you can sustain that focus for such a long time. You can learn everything about that thing and become an expert at it. Like ADHD, like me and ADHD. I mean, I have sustained focus now. With this ADHD, world that I'm in for a year and a half of daily sustained focus because I'm very passionate about it and I'm very interested in it. And that has not worn off for me because I'm very connected to it. Mm-hmm. But other things.
It's meaningful.
People with ADHD have a very strong sense of needing to do something that is fulfilling and meaningful, and everything else just is not important to us. And that's what I've learned from having a community is that most ADHD people that I know really, really need to be fulfilled in what they're doing. And if they're not, it's just, I feel like it's just a waste of time. that's a problem because society does not accept that. That's right. Not how we're supposed to function in society.
We're supposed to find algebra interesting and stimulating.
Mm-hmm. We are. Yeah. And if our brains are like, no, that's not interesting. Mm-hmm. Good luck. I mean, the problem is with a lot of people with ADHD, they're in public schools that just flat out don't make education interesting and exciting. And so people with ADHD are really, really in trouble in that situation. And that's,
you know, that's funny that you say that, because we've had students that have talked about a class that maybe wasn't their favorite class going into it, like a history or what, it could have been anything. But because the teacher was so engaging and made the class so interesting, they ended up getting an A and they learned so much because they were able to literally grab their attention.
Yeah. If you can grab my attention, the sky is the limit for people with ADHD. If it's engaging enough, if it's meaningful, if it's impactful, if you can see why it's important in the world, I feel like ADHDers will grab onto that. And basic detailed tasks that, you know, maybe aren't as fulfilling are extremely difficult for us to do.
Mm-hmm. I think too, I think when we talk about focus, I think it's interesting to put it in the realm of like social relationships, you know, like when, you know, it can really impact how you interact with other people.
So much. I mean, I've been in groups of people where there's like, you know, you're in a circle of people and everyone's talking and there's so much energy and so much conversation going and you like it, you're into it, but you just can't keep up and you can't participate in one or the other, or you get really focused in on one person and you want to talk to them about your passions for the whole entire night because you have that excitement about it, you know? So it can, being in social situations with ADHD can be super overwhelming for people too afterwards. You could probably need to detox a little bit afterwards or decompress. Some people it gives them energy, but it's most of the time when it gives you energy, I feel like it's because it's something you're really interested in. So, I mean, the social settings definitely, it impacts so much.
Definitely. Yeah. So do you think that focus impacts individuals differently at different ages and stages of life? Like, does it
struggle? I think our interests change. Yeah. I think our interests just change as we age too. I mean, so my mom has ADHD and her symptoms show up vastly different than mine. She's able to manage time in a way that I'm not able to manage time. Like, we're just different. And that's part of the problem with diagnosing women is that it just presents itself differently to each one of us. But yeah, I think when I was younger, when I was in school, I couldn't focus on even the things that were interesting. It was very overwhelming for me to be in school with all of the noises and distractions. And even if I was really into something, it was very difficult for me to do well in school because of all of the distractions of school. So yeah, but now, you know, I could probably go back to school and just pick exactly what I want to study and be really interested in it. And I could excel in school if I wanted to.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like as we get older, we start to navigate towards those things that we are passionate about and are interested in. And we don't have to every day go to history class or go to, you know, spend time doing things that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't love doing laundry either. But there's far less of we're able to get away from the stuff that we don't enjoy and we can
I feel like that's the biggest takeaway that I've come out of having an Instagram page and learning from the community is that there's nothing wrong with following your interests and you should really be encouraged to follow the things that interest you. And in school, that's really not how they work. They want you to follow their plan and it doesn't matter if you're interested in it or not. But as you age and as you, you know, grow up, like it's so important to, if you love painting, to do painting occasionally. And it's so important if you love going for walks to go for walks because you need those things in your life. And there's a reason that you're focused on those is because they make you feel good.
So what would you say to a non-ADHD person that says, well, of course, everybody gets bored. I mean, everybody gets, you know, has trouble paying attention if they're bored. Like how do you respond to that?
I feel like it's just a different level of boredom that I can't really explain. Like it's actually can be physically painful. my body physically hurts when I'm like forced to sit for a long period of time, like in a way that I just don't think it affects someone without ADHD, where they can sit there quietly and like read a book or just be patient and wait. And I am literally like, my whole body hurts. My heart races. Like, I'm sweaty. I'm uncomfortable. Like, it's a different feeling when you're bored with ADHD. Like, I want to say there should be another term, because boredom just doesn't seem to encapsulate it very well. But it's more like torture.
Nope, I agree.
It's more like torture.
And you get physical symptoms.
Like, yeah, like I do. And I know you guys do. I don't know if you still do the QB check testing. But when I did the QB check testing, it was intentionally boring so that they can monitor how, you know, how ADHDers are with that being bored. And my whole body physically hurt during that test. Not to say that I'm not trying to discourage anyone from taking the test. I'm saying me being bored was physically hurting me during that experience. And I was exhausted afterwards. And it was only like a 20-minute, very easy test that anyone can do. But someone who without ADHD could probably take that test and just be bored and move on. But someone like me, like, it wiped me out for a while. Like, it actually made me very exhausted. And I heard that that's pretty common with the test like that too.
Because you had to power through and still perform in a very boring set. Like, you were so bored, but you still had to do it. And so that your hype,
was working
your
ability, overtime.
Yeah. You were working overtime. Exactly.
It's like working overtime. And, it's hard to explain to someone without ADHD, but it's just not, boredom really isn't the right word. It's more like agony.
And I mean,
that's honestly how I would describe my experience in school when I was younger, is it was torture. It was like agonizing torture. And I retained no information. Mm-hmm. And I was tested on stuff that I could not retain. And it was very stressful, caused me a lot of anxiety. And I barely graduated. I don't even know how I did graduate. But I always feel for people who with ADHD who are in school right now, especially for the ones that don't even know they have ADHD. They just think something's wrong with them.
Right.
And it's like, they're just, I just feel for that. Sometimes I get teens and college students that message me in my community, and they're just struggling so badly, so badly. Especially with like COVID and having to like change, go work from home for, you know, everyone's environments have changed in the last few years, and just, it's just so hard.
And online learning was extra challenging for many people with ADHD.
Oh yeah. And having right now like Zoom calls back to back to back, like standing completely still, sitting completely still, having to take notes, having to present, and having, oh man, Zoom calls are just not cut out for people with ADHD. Which is why I'm actually standing right now, because I knew I would have to be, you know, my focus would have to be on you guys for however long we're doing this. And if I'm sitting still, like, my whole body will just be hurting. But now I can, you know, wiggle around. And
that's a great coping strategy that you've learned, that standing when you have to focus helps your brain kind of slow down and focus for longer periods of time.
I actually know a lot of ADHDers that do the standing desks, or they have like a really cool chair, like a ball chair, or they have just like, they've really had to adapt to make it tolerable.
Do you take medication for your ADHD?
I do not. I am not currently medicated. I did try a medication and like a non-stimulant a couple months ago, and it just, my body was struggling to adapt to it, but I'm not against it. I just haven't found the right one. And sometimes I think I really, really need it.
That's frustrating too.
It is. Yeah, it's a trial and error.
It definitely was trial and error. I've heard so many good things about medication, so I know I want to try again. I just, right now I'm moving and there's a lot going on, and I just don't think I have the capacity to go try one that might have some side effects and stuff. So I will get there, and I'd really like to get to a place where medication would be helping me, because I do need the help.
So you're just learning and developing coping strategies and Have you worked with a coach at all or somebody that can give you strategies?
Yeah. So I have a therapist. She's actually the one that kind of discovered I had ADHD. She has ADHD. So she recognized it in me immediately and said, yeah, I think you need to get tested. And so I do have a therapist, and I luckily am in this amazing community of lots of ADHD people. I am friends with coaches. I'm just surrounded by the right people. And tips and tricks are constantly like out there for me. Like I have a lot of resources. So yeah, I feel like I have a pretty good handle on the tips and tricks to help me get by, but it changes every day.
Sure. You know, it's funny because one of the things I always recommend to the adults when we do assessments is to get involved in a community, because it is so important to feel like you're a part of that community, but also to hear about not just everybody else's struggles, because there is some sort of peace in knowing that other people are having a lot of the same struggles, but the solutions, like, well, what are people doing about it? Because there might be something out there that you're like, oh, I haven't tried that yet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and honestly, I think community has been the biggest help for me with my ADHD, is having other people, like you said, to not only relate to, but to offer guidance or tips and tricks and what's working for them. And just having someone that understands, someone that I don't have to apologize to if I miss a call, or if I, you know, screw up a date that we had planned, or, you know, they understand completely and I never have to apologize to them. And that's something that I just don't get in the normal world. So there's just having the community is like so amazing. It's literally my favorite part of my whole world right now.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's really nice.
And what do you have suggestions for others with ADHD as far as what types of communities or where to find those communities of support?
Yeah, so there are like local chapters you can join. It's CHAD. I don't remember CHAD. What they... So I would kind of reach out to CHAD, which is CHADD. You guys are cutting out for a second. Can you still see me? So CHAD is a great ADHD organization. I would just go to their website and kind of see all the resources they have. But as far as communities goes, like TikTok and Instagram is honestly where it's at right now with ADHD community. I mean, it is really powerful, the people that you can meet on there and who you can connect to. And it's really cool. I mean, there's also some Discord channels that you can join, and there are other resources. Most of the ones I know of are online, but I do know that like CHAD and other organizations do like in-person events in like different regions, like different meetup events. So yeah.
What are some of the, or maybe your top three, like since you've been diagnosed, what would you say like your top three tips and tricks that have helped you manage your ADHD?
I think just not beating myself up for...
It's huge.
For everything. Just like giving myself more grace is probably the biggest one, is just like cutting myself some slack, not putting so many things on my to-do list every day, just really limiting how many items I'm pressuring myself to get done in a day. And then I do like time blocking and Pomodoro method. I don't know if you guys have talked about that, but I have like timers everywhere, clocks everywhere. Time blindness is really big for me, so I have to like have the time everywhere. And really like time blocking my tasks for the day. So instead of just saying, oh, you have to do these five things, like really looking at it on a calendar and be like, okay, this will take me about an hour. Let's block that out. Okay, this will take me 2 or 3 hours. Let's block that out. And then allowing for a lot of wiggle room, even on top of that. and then even penciling in eat a snack,
right?
Like really scheduling my day, or else it's just like willy nilly. I'm just going to wander through the house and not get much done. So I still have those days. Don't get me wrong. I still have lots of days that are wasted, quote unquote. But the days that I do really well are the days when I use the timer and I use all of the tools that I have. But it's not every day. It's
consistency
is hard.
It is not consistent at all, really. But I do.
That is a great strategy.
How does the Pomodoro timer if you don't mind, just quickly explaining, I think we have probably maybe talked about it, but a review would be great. And then talk to us about how that helps you with your focus.
Yeah. So I'll tell you how I implement it. So I have a visual timer, and maybe you guys can link the Time Timer is the brand that I like. You have one in front of you?
No, we're
writing it down. No, I have one in my office.
It's a visual timer where you can actually see in a block of color, like how much time is left. Yeah. So I'll set it for 20 minutes and I'll say, okay, and I'm going to work on emails right now for 20 minutes and I'll do my emails. And then when the timer goes off, I set it for 10 minutes and I go take a break. So I pretty much work 20 minutes, 10 minute break, work 20 minutes, 5 minute break, work 10 minutes. I mean, I try to do that, but I even time my breaks because the breaks could...
You may never come back.
Exactly. I may never come back. Yeah, I may be emptying out my pantry during that time. So the days when I can use the timer seem to be the ones where I can get the most done. But sometimes the timer doesn't work for me either. Like just knowing that this is a resource. It's not going to work every day. If this one's not working today, what else is in the bag? Like what else do I have that will work today? And I have lots of those little tips and tricks. Sometimes I'll write my tasks on a large piece of paper. And then when each one is done, I'll just rip it up because that's satisfying for the day. Like sometimes I will bust out my highlighters. I'll use a chalkboard or a dry erase board, or just, I honestly feel like I have to use something different almost every day of the week. And just being okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like not letting myself, the Pomodoro method's not working for me anymore. I'm not going to ever use that again. That's not true. I'll find it in a month again and I'll try it again. It'll work again.
And don't beat yourself up if it didn't work for you.
That's the biggest thing, is just like having lots of things in your toolbox and like being okay if one of them's not working today. Like that doesn't mean it's not going to work tomorrow. It's just not working for you right now. I mean, it could depend on how much sleep you got the night before, like how much anxiety you have. Have you eaten? Like the effectiveness of the tools has a lot more to do with how you started your day and how many like stressful tasks are on the list, and just really, really tuning into like your energy and what you have the capacity for that day.
Right.
And being okay with if the capacity is zero, like you have to be okay with that. And maybe you need to take the day off.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, when you were talking about finding something that is interesting and engaging and that you're passionate about, I was thinking, I have found that. And most days I can sustain my focus for extended periods of time because I'm doing what I love. It's something that is interest driven. I'm very passionate. But there are days that no matter how hard I try, I cannot focus for more than 20 minutes. I cannot sustain that attention. I need more frequent breaks, more frequent movement, more variety.
The walking, like going outside and walking will usually like, it's like a reset for me. If I'm like, oh, my brain, I can't do anything. I can't get off the couch. I'll be like, okay. I want to go for a walk. What's one thing I can do? Like, what's the first step of going for a walk? Okay, put your shoes on. Like, okay, what's the next step? Go get the dog's leash, you know, like just really starting at the basics. Like, okay, what's the one thing I can do right now? Like, I can turn my computer on. Okay, I can log into the computer and like really thinking about it in basic steps. And that helps kind of move the day forward. Sometimes it doesn't. But it's just, honestly, it's just being okay with that.
Yeah.
Just really, it's like radical self-acceptance.
Absolutely. And that's another great strategy or tip that you said, you know, using breaks, frequent breaks, and moving, getting up and resetting that brain. Some
music
physical
is
activity.
Like amazing for people with ADHD. Music is a main motivator for us. Like when we turn music on and we can kind of dance around the house or sing along, like we can get a lot done if there's music going on.
Have you ever tried the focus music?
I have. There's a couple. Yes, I have. And some of the brown noise and the pink noise and the white noise. Help? I've tried them all.
You like it helps or occasionally?
Sometimes, sometimes I think that's the biggest thing is like, it's not, we're interest-based. Our interests change from day to day, from hour to hour, from minute to minute. And that might work for me one day, but it might not the next. So that's, I feel like that's my biggest my biggest point here is to really be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Okay.
Because we have a tendency to beat ourselves up for, for that. Yeah.
Are you a caffeine drinker?
I cannot drink caffeine. I am extremely sensitive to caffeine. Yeah.
Well, see, that may be why your medication isn't working either. It's a stimulant thing for you.
Could be. Yeah. Caffeine, like I get migraines, my whole body, like I get my heart races. Like I just do not, caffeine does not do it for me.
Wow.
I still love chocolate. Like chocolate is my, yeah. I usually will eat chocolate like with an Excedrin. Like I want the chocolate, but I need the time.
That's crazy. Well, that totally makes sense as to why you're struggling with medication then too. Well, that's unfortunate because a lot of people who don't take medication use caffeine to help. And yeah, no, you're out of luck.
No, I'm all over here. I'm just over here with my tuna fish sandwiches and soda water.
I'm pretty sure there's not a lot of research on how that helps with focus. We'll have to look into it, but
yeah. Yeah. I mean, so another thing I started doing is I really struggle in the mornings and like getting starting my day is a challenge for me. Like I want it to be very peaceful and quiet and calm and I want it to kind of take a few hours.
Me too.
But I've noticed that if I'm like stalling and I can't get to work, I will usually just like jump in the shower. Like taking a shower really like energizes me again. Like it's like it wakes me back up and perks me ready for the day. So I just have a couple of like little tools like that that help me get
that by. It's
true.
I actually wake up extra early. I wake up at an ungodly hour so that I can have a couple of hours to get started, a routine. I like to have a slow, leisurely morning.
It's so funny because I realized recently in the last like few weeks that I ideally just don't work 8 to 5 or 9 to 5. My brain is very high functioning from like 2 to 8 PM. And I don't want to work in the evenings. I want to have dinner and hang out with my family, but that's when my brain is like, let's do it. So like, I feel like not all of us, like our brains don't work the traditional 8 to 5. Like they're just not the same. We're not on the same time schedule as everyone else, which we're time blind. So maybe that's why, like we just don't, we don't operate on the same time plan as everyone else. So like figuring that out, like allowing yourself a little wiggle room to like, well, maybe I'll work a little later today. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's all about like what works for you. And some people might like the 8 to 5 schedule and it works for them, but just really being aware of what's working for you and paying attention.
A lot of truth to like morning people and night people. And I think you nailed it. Like morning people are better. They function better. They perform better later in the day. That's when they're, you know, that's when they fire. Whereas morning people can get up and be super productive and get stuff done. I am not one of those people.
Well, I used to think I was a morning person because I get up and I'm up for a while. And I thought like, I'm pretty happy in the mornings. It's just, my brain is just, it's like slothy in the morning.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Gosh, thank you so much for sharing so much great information, for talking a lot about focus and giving us a lot of your personal stories and testimonies and
strategies
and tips and tricks. I think
maybe they'll help somebody.
But I think, thank you for what you do for the community, because I truly believe that there is so much good that can come out of what you do. And because we see so many people that are hurting and suffering and struggling because of this diagnosis or lack of, that to have a community like what you do, it's incredible. And I think it's such a great resource, and it really makes people understand that they're not alone, that there's nothing wrong with them. Mm-hmm.
Well, just so you know, I've always said this, I actually get way more out of the community than anyone else gets. It's very selfish. Like I get so much out of it that, you know, I'm happy to do it. And it's very selfish why I do it.
You have to imagine that everyone else is reaping the same benefits, right? Like if you're getting a lot out of it, then so is everybody else.
It is an asset. If you have ADHD, having a community is an asset. If you suspect you have ADHD, it's an asset. If you know someone that in your life that has ADHD, I would also join a community because it'll help you understand them. It'll help you communicate better. So I do have a lot of spouses that follow me. They're like, my husband sent me here. My wife sent me here. My therapist sent me here. So it's just, it's so wild and it's really cool. Awesome. And I'm excited to keep doing it.
So how do people find you?
You can find me at myladyadhd.com. And I don't know when this is going to air, but I was going to tell you something.
It'll probably be, where are we? Probably be like mid-October.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm hosting a workshop on October 15th and 16th. So if it airs before that, you can hop on over. It's a workshop about how to work with your ADHD, like how to function in the workplace with your ADHD. It's with my friend, Jesse Anderson. I'm super excited about it. It's a 2-day workshop. So it's like 6 hours, but it's very ADHD friendly. And the 15th and 16th of October.
Will you, Cody, you can cut all this out if it doesn't, I don't know when this is going to air. But will you send us that and we'll post on our social media?
Yes, I will. Yes. Oh, thank you. That would be very nice. Awesome. Yeah. Excited about that. I'm going to be doing a lot of workshops and courses and things coming up here soon. So that's where my energy is going. That's where all the, that's what the community wants. They need help. So that's what's happening. So yeah, you can find me myladyadhd.com or on Instagram is probably the best place to find me right now.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. We appreciate it. You're awesome.
Yes.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Trina. We really appreciate it and all that you do guys. For the community.
Appreciate
and for being
it.
With us today. Woo-hoo. And thank you to our listeners that have come and listened today. And if you guys have any suggestions for future topics, feel free to email us at letstalklearningdisabilities@gmail.com, or you can check out our podcast website at ltldpodcast.com. And we look forward to the next series, the next episode in our executive functioning series, and stay tuned for that episode.
You guys have a great day. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.